Hey everybody, welcome into the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. Well, of course, it's been a little bit of some sad days going over the last few weeks without sports as we deal with this coronavirus pandemic in the U.S., but especially yesterday on Thursday, which was scheduled to be Major League Baseball's opening day. The Orioles were supposed to play the Yankees at home yesterday. Should have been John Means versus Gerrit Cole. Instead, we don't know when baseball will be coming. However, we do know a little bit about the plans of Major League Baseball, as the owners came to an agreement yesterday that the players are going to have to sign off on that mostly included money spent for the players, which they're going to get some advanced money for the first 2 months of the season. And then the Major League Baseball draft, which right now the plan is for the draft to be held in July. It's usually in early June, and it was going to be held at the College World Series this year. But remember, the College World Series not happening anymore, along with a lot of other sports and along with every college sport for the spring semester. However, the draft, the plan is for it still to happen. They've moved it back to July, and it's usually 40 rounds. It looks like right now it's only going to be 5 rounds. Now, the players and the owners and everyone can come together and ratify that and expand it at some point if we have baseball back by then. But the plan right now is 5 rounds for the draft, which would mean a lot of different things, and it gets pretty complicated. But to look at it pretty simply, a lot more high school guys who might sign in those later rounds might go to college, and a lot of college guys who, you know, are maybe juniors who get drafted in rounds after round five and still sign with a pro club are going to come back to school as well, which means college baseball is going to be loaded next year. There's going to be a lot more players. We'll see if the NCAA allows the seniors to come back next year, who pretty much lost their season. So there's a lot of moving parts there, with the draft kind of making the first move as it goes with high school, college, and professional baseball. So it'll be interesting. Now, they've set it at 5 rounds. However, they have the chance to move it to 10, move it to 20 even as we go along here this season, if we get baseball back maybe earlier than expected. But just some interesting news out of baseball yesterday. But of course, the big thing yesterday was supposed to be opening day. And you know, despite even a couple of rough seasons last couple years, the Orioles have still showed out in their home opener. Now, they did lose last year to the Yankees, ended up losing 8-4 last year. They actually did not win at home against the Yankees last year. Their only 2 wins against New York last season came on the road. But for the O's, before that, they had a nice little streak going. They had won 3 straight home openers, and a lot of them by a very exciting fashion. You go back to 2018, obviously a tough year for the O's with only 47 wins. However, started off with a bang on March 29th on opening day against Minnesota, the 3-2 win in extras with the Adam Jones walk-off home run off of Fernando Rodney on the first pitch of the bottom of the 11th, and that would be the only time the Orioles were over 500 that season at 1-0, as they followed up that opening day win with a 5-game losing streak that season. You go back 1 year further to 2017. It was also a walk-off for the Orioles, also in the 11th inning. This one came from Mark Trumbo, as he walked it off on Jason Grilley of the Blue Jays in the bottom of the 11th, and the Orioles actually started that year 4-0 back in 2017. Remember, they got themselves up to 13-5. They were 22-10 at one point in May, and then things kind of fell apart a bit. They hung around a little bit and were actually right around the wild card at the end of August, but remember, fell apart in September that year, ended up going 75-87, and really kickstarted somewhat of the thoughts of the rebuild. You go back to 2016, the last year the Orioles made the postseason. More heroics that year. If you remember that opening day game on April 4th against Minnesota, the Orioles and the Twins, they had some rain mixed into the ball game there at a game that ended up starting at about 4:45 because of rain in Baltimore, and it ended with a Matt Wieters walk-off single up the middle for the O's as they won that game over the Minnesota Twins in nine innings as they got it off of Kevin Jepsen in the ninth to win it. And the Orioles also started that year red hot. Remember, if you remember back to 2016, the Orioles started the season 7-0 that year. And it all started with that opening day walk-off. If you go back to 2015, that was the last time the Orioles had lost a home opener before last year. But in 2014, if you remember, you had that good start from Chris Tillman, and then Nelson Cruz, welcome to Baltimore, the call from Gary Thorne as he hit that solo homer in the seventh inning to give the Orioles a 2-1 win over the Boston Red Sox, hit it off John Lester in the seventh. And the Orioles actually, in 2014, interestingly enough, they would win the opening day game. And of course, they won 96 games that year, won the division. They actually lost the next four games that season, lost the next two to Boston, lost two straight in Detroit, and fell to 1-4. They actually did not get themselves back over 500 until the end of April. April 24th, they went to 11-10. Then they kind of hopped around a little bit back and forth between 500 and right over 500. But then it got to May, and the Orioles started to pull away a bit, but at the end of May, you know, that season was really interesting. The Orioles weren't dominant the whole season. On May 30th, they lost to Houston and fell back under 500 at 26-27. And they sat around 500 for a while that season. June 30th, they got a win against Texas, just put their record to 43-39 at the end of June. But July was the big month for the Orioles. By the end of July, they were 13 games over 500. And then by the end of August, they were up to 23 games over 500. But that first half of the season really was not fantastic for the Orioles in 2014. And then want to go back to 2013. The last one we'll kind of talk about here is the Orioles opened up on the road in Tampa and won 2 of 3 and then came home. And Chris Davis hit that eighth inning grand slam off of Casey Fien to give the Orioles a 9-5 lead, and they would win it 9-5 on that home opener back on April 5th of 2013. So some good opening day moments there. Of course, the Orioles have had some good ones as well. Back in 92, the complete game shutout to open up Camden Yards. Remember back in 2003, when the Orioles won it 6-5 on the walk-off winner from Gary Matthews and the walk-off single in that one in extra innings. Remember, we had the snow in Camden Yards that year. But just some weird opening day games for the Orioles and some interesting ones to go back and look. But historically, the Orioles have been very good in home openers, which made it even more exciting. You know, you kind of know this season wasn't going to be a great one, but you always felt like that first home series, a lot of energy, a lot of people in the ballpark. You're playing the Yankees, maybe you get a win or two. But we'll have to wait and see when this season starts and how it's going to be played. It's still being talked about between the owners and the players' union. Obviously, they don't know when they'll be able to play, but it's still being talked about, you know, how long this season is truly going to be, what they're going to do. Are they going to play double headers? They've talked about doing 7-inning double headers. Would they just pick up the season right where it would be on the original schedule whenever they're given the okay to play? Would they play a lot of double headers during the week? Would they do one double header per week? Would they still try to get in 140 games, or would they cut it to 80 or 90 or 100 games? So a lot still be determined as we hit what would have been day two of the season here today.
Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings Smart Scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step-on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, that's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale.
But besides opening day, of course, we've still got content here on Locked On Orioles, and we've got our greatest Oriole of all time bracket. It is headed to the Elite Eight. And of our Elite Eight teams, we've got mostly chalk. All four number one seeds have moved to the Elite Eight. And then we have two of the number two seeds and two of the number three seeds. In those Sweet 16 matchups yesterday, we had Brooks Robinson crushing Melvin Mora, Jim Palmer all over Ken Singleton, and Frank Robinson all over the Cinderella story, J.J. Hardy. Our close matchup was Paul Blair defeating Brady Anderson with 54% of the vote. So the Elite Eight matchups are out, and here they are. It's the one seed Cal Ripken against the three seed Boog Powell, the one seed Eddie Murray against the two seed Mike Mussina, the one seed Brooks Robinson against the two seed Paul Blair, and the one seed Jim Palmer against the three seed Frank Robinson. These will be the first matchups that the voting on Twitter is open for 2 days, not just one full day. So from now, Friday morning, until Sunday morning, you can head to our Twitter at Locked On Orioles and vote for all four of these Elite Eight matchups, and we'll keep you engaged on social media with the voting throughout the weekend. And then we'll get to the Final Four. Final Four voting will open Sunday morning, and it will be open until Tuesday morning. And then the championship voting will be open Tuesday through Thursday to crown our fan-voted greatest Oriole of all time. And I gotta say, I especially think we're gonna have maybe one of our closest votes so far. We've had some pretty close votes throughout this bracket. Even in the first round, there were some close matchups, especially in the second round. We had some really close matchups, and some in the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16 as well. As I talked about, Paul Blair and Brady Anderson was very close. If you go back towards the Sweet 16, Mike Mussina and Adam Jones was pretty close, but I think our closest might be this Elite Eight matchup between Jim Palmer and Frank Robinson. And if you're wondering why Frank Robinson was a number three seed, Frank may have been, for that stretch he was with the Orioles, the best player in Orioles history, but he was only an Oriole for 6 years, and that's kind of why he goes down to a three seed, just because, you know, he spent more time with the Reds in his career. And even though he was fantastic as an Oriole, won two World Series, World Series MVP, was the AL MVP and won the Triple Crown in 66. You know, Jim Palmer played his entire almost 20-year career with the Orioles, and Frank was only there for six seasons. So that's why they match up this early. So it should be an interesting matchup there between two Orioles fan favorites and two of the greatest players of Orioles history, both in the Major League Baseball and the Orioles Hall of Fame. So that voting will continue here on Locked On Orioles. But again, we just wanted to update you on that and, you know, kind of get a look back on opening day, the opening day that would have been yesterday. We hope yesterday that you tuned into the MLB Vault YouTube channel at 4 o'clock as Major League Baseball did a pretty cool thing. Throughout all their platforms, they played at least one game for every team yesterday that they could enjoy, one of their most historic games. And for the Orioles, it was Game 2 of the 2014 ALDS against the Tigers with the Delman Young bases clearing double to give them the lead. I know I was tuned in for every pitch of that one on YouTube yesterday. And again, there's a lot of full games on YouTube, and we'll continue to do some rewatch episodes here on the pod as we can help you get through this time without baseball. And speaking of that, earlier in the week, if you're liking what you're hearing on the pod, remember, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Give us a rating and a review as well. And go back and check out the archives. We had a pretty good week here on the podcast, some really good episodes to listen to. You go back to Monday and Tuesday, we had a two-part AL wildcard game of 2012 rewatch with Matthew Pine of Utah Street Report. He joined the podcast. We went through that 2012 AL wildcard game when the Orioles beat the Rangers, and kind of went through the game, talked about the significance, talked about our favorite moments, and it was a good rewatch pod. You can rewatch the whole game for free on YouTube, and the link to the game is in the podcast description, for that episode. So go back, rewatch the game, listen to the pod. It was a good time with Matthew. Then on Wednesday, we had Anders Jorstad join us. He's the new voice of the Frederick Keys. We talked with him about coming to Frederick and getting to call some Keys baseball whenever baseball starts this year. We talked about his broadcast career, his time at Hofstra, and living on both coasts of the U.S., along with many other things. And then on Thursday, we had Paul Fritschner on. He's the new number two voice of the Bowie Bay Sox. Talked about his broadcast career as well. Talked about him going to Xavier. And then we talked about him and what he's doing during this quarantine. He's actually watching The Office for the first time and posting some vlogs about it on his social media. So go check that out at Paul Fritschner on Twitter if you want to see that content. And then when the season starts, you'll get Bowie Bay Sox content from him as well. So again, we hope you you found a way to enjoy what would have been your opening day yesterday. And again, here on the pod, we'll be back on Monday. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember to stay home.